Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John here with Jake Gutierrez, Nate Buchady. Can't stay away from Twitter when he's down in Miami with his, I'm not saying this in a derogatory tone. I'm asking Jake. He's with his frat brothers, right? And like the guys he was in the frat with.
Yeah. His fratastic friends.
Is that his ex?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
No, I mean,
what do you call that?
Once a brother, always a brother.
There you go. You're his.
There's fraternity brothers.
Right.
That was not.
So that's the kind of crew. They're getting after it. It's my point.
Frat guys.
They're getting after it.
Fratastic.
And so why is he tweeting at Gabe DeArmond last night at like 10:30? Like, I'm just going to ask you this. If you go to Miami with a group of buddies to go watch KU play basketball, and you're down there a night or two early, the game's not till Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And so last night was Thursday night, so he's clearly, I'm going to go ahead and say he's not at the game yet.
No.
He's down on South Beach to have some fun, right?
Right. Get in a day early, start the vacation early.
So if you're down there with a group of friends two nights early
for
the KU game, on South Beach at 10:30 at night, which would have been 11:30 down there, do you think anywhere at the top of your list are you tweeting at Gabe DeArmond?
Me personally?
About Missouri basketball and Kansas football.
Zero chance. I was on a family vacation in California last week. I didn't even open my Twitter. I mean, maybe once, twice maybe the whole time. No. If I'm on South Beach, I am. I'm probably not tweeting at Gabe DeArmond
about Mizzou basketball or KU football. No. So I see now.
I wasn't paying attention to Nate last night.
Somebody should take his phone away from him.
Twitter last night,
right?
Being on South
tweeting at Gabe.
Well, I'm shocked that.
Maybe he was watching the Mizzou basketball game. They were playing Central Florida, so.
Well, that would kind of shock me.
Yeah, why are you doing that? I mean, whatever.
Well, no, I figured he'd be locked into the...
Something. South Beach locked into something.
No, I figured he was locked into the Houston Dynamo Seattle Sounders game last night.
Why would you do that?
He's a big soccer fan.
South Beach.
And we're talking about Nate.
And you don't have to go to work the next day.
Okay, so I get it. If he's going to be locked into something last night, that would have been my guess. Okay, me personally,
what he
I'd
should be locked into
on,
has nothing to do with anything we've just talked about,
right?
Or Twitter. Let me tell you that right now.
Yes, there are some sights to be seen on South Beach,
or just things to do. I mean,
No sights to be seen.
Yeah,
I've spent.
I would slap the phone out of his hands if I caught him tweeting about the Mizzou Central Florida game in relation to KU football and road losing streaks.
No,
he can't let it go. That's what vacation's for. He can't let it go, man. You just can't let it go. And so
I need to check his timeline.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see any of this last night.
Because I'm watching. It was an 8 o'clock game. It's around 10:30 or so. I don't know if you heard this from the Northland. If you heard a nice exhale.
I felt it.
Watching the Missouri Tigers win a true road game at Central Florida, ladies and gentlemen, the nightmare is over. And let me tell you, for any Mizzou basketball fans that have actually stuck with this team over the past 3 or 4 years, you know exactly what the hell I'm talking about. Missouri snapped its 36-game road losing streak with a win tonight over UCF. It was, according to ESPN Stats and Info, the longest active streak in men's Division I basketball and spanned three head coaches. So it did encompass the Kim Anderson era in its entirety. What was that face? You just, I mean, really? That's a fake surprise. Were you really surprised? Like, oh, I can't believe
you. Kinda. Not one? None?
No.
Zero?
That really, it really knocked you for a loop right there?
A little bit.
No.
I mean,
no. It was the longest active streak in men's Division One basketball and spanned three head coaches. 1,401 days between road wins.
That's a long time.
It had been 1,401 days since Missouri had won at Arkansas. I mean, come on. And so, number one, I don't care who it was against. I don't care. Because you did not want to carry that into SEC conference play, because then that's all you're going to hear every road game. Because that's all you hear. That's all you heard last year. That's all you hear every road game anyway. You know, Missouri, kind of like, so this is what Nate was getting to, sending smart-ass tweets to Gabe. That's what you would hear every game. Like, so now, whenever Kansas plays on the road, what do you hear 15 times a game by the broadcast crew? You know, Kansas hasn't won a road game since rah, rah, rah. And it makes you want to scream or throw something at the TV, right?
Nope.
And so every Missouri basketball road game, hey, you know, interesting stat here. And I'm thinking, okay, come on. It's not interesting, but come on. Say it. Missouri hasn't won a road game. Oh, really? I was unaware. And so last time, you know, if Missouri holds on to win this, they would end the... And, dude, let me tell you. The opening, listening to Konzo.
He almost cursed.
Let me tell you, why did he curse? And I got to the point, I'm sorry. You know what, I did it. I'm like, I don't know even who I'm asking. I'm just like talking to this guy. I'm thinking, it's my birthday. Can I have this for my birthday? Can I have this effing road win for my birthday?
Nope.
Please. I know I shouldn't ask that, but I'm at, and I don't even know who I was at. I think I even asked my mom at one point, Mama,
just one.
If you're watching right now, could you please
just one.
Make something happen? And, you know, I know I've talked about this with Nate. You know maybe sometimes that it's not going to be your night or something's going to happen. One of the most gut-wrenching daggers in college basketball is the play great defense for most of the shot clock, then there's a loose ball or something happens, and the guy gets it 35 feet away from the basket, and as the shot clock expires, fires up a desperation three, and it goes in, right? Like, oh, Missouri playing great defense. The shot's blocked, loose ball. Oh, center forward has got it. Shot clock, man! Oh, miraculous three! I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Because right there, that's usually the sign. Like, oh, you know what? Whatever. The basketball gods are against us.
Right.
And when that happened, because I think Konzo referenced it or whatever, I'm like, oh. No. That's stupid. It's like they played too good a defense. Had a couple of block shots and blocked the ball out to the perimeter and 3-pointer up against the shot clock violation, whatever.
Well, I thought that technical foul under a minute, I was like, here it goes.
Here we go. So it was like a minute and a half or so. It was right around.
Under a minute. I think it was like.
Okay. You know what?
Right.
It was a wild last couple of minutes. For people that didn't see it, Missouri had a 5-point lead, and then Central Florida had the ball. And so apparently the coaching staff or someone yells, Jeremiah Tillman, get into the game. And Jeremiah Tillman decided to get into the game while the game was going on and not check in or what, I don't know, whatever. Right. He runs out onto the floor. And he runs back, right? And he had, and it happened
46 seconds.
It happened just as Central Florida had called a timeout.
Right.
And so you're hoping they didn't see it, right? And I think, and Johnny Dawkins, their coach, is going crazy. Like, did you shut up? And the refs were looking around. And then you see him go, technical.
Yep. Whoops.
I'm like, oh, boy.
I know, right? That guy's like, no.
Because
that's what I thought I was going to start. I thought that's how it was going to start.
Sure.
And just that.
Of course.
Here we go.
And I'm thinking, like, I don't think I've ever seen that in college basketball. Someone just run onto the floor to go into the game, like you're playing at the Y. All right, get in. I need to blow.
Fluid subs. Come here. Fluid subs.
Let's run in. Like a hockey game.
Yeah.
But then Central Florida missed the technical. So right. Like, okay. All right. And I was entertained by the game because, first of all, Florida features a 7'6" center named Taco Fall.
Big guy.
And haven't we all had a Taco Fall?
Lots of them.
At some point in our lives? That's just...
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I wish I could go back in time and name one of my sons Taco Fall St. John. I feel like that's a great name. You know, he's wearing glasses out there on the floor, running around. He's pretty good. He was not the greatest rebounder I've ever seen for a 7'6" kid, but he was somewhat polished offensively. You know, he made a number of nice shots. He was smooth around the basket, but he got really, really, really tired. And John Thompson III was the color commentator. He was, oh, big man, you can't get tired like that. Big man, come on, you can't get tired. And there was a point, I think Taco Fall was looking at anyone. He was even looking at Konzo Martin to take him out. I think he wishes that Jeremiah Tillman would have subbed him out. He was so damn tired. But I thought Jeremiah Tillman was really good. Terrence Phillips,
who was
one of the GOATs in the game against West Virginia, who had a couple of bad turnovers.
Had some big shots.
So he threw up. And so, like, the shoe on the other foot, when Central Florida's trying to come back up against the shot clock, he threw up a wild three that, you know. The
bucket he had right around the two-minute mark. I think there were like 4 seconds left on the shot clock.
Now that was a pull-up jumper,
right?
Okay, so that was a legitimate shot. That
right,
was, he meant to make that way. Right. Else. But before that, he had fired up a three because maybe that jump shot isn't as important if he didn't make that three. He fired up a three, banked it.
Yeah. Yes.
Just, you know, out of a timeout, just threw it up. Shot clock winding down, and so Central Florida probably got that same medicine. They go, oh, okay, well, they're gonna win. We just played great defense, and they threw up a stupid three, and it banks in. And so, bottom line is this. Central Florida, I think they were receiving votes at the beginning of the season in the top 25. One of their best players isn't playing right now. They're going to get better. And so, by the end of the year, this could look like a pretty decent win, and it's a road win. So, that's a good deal for Missouri. And again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you've lost 36 straight games on the road and it's been 1,401 days since you've won a road game, you just got to win the road game. And it doesn't matter who it's against. So now you don't have to hear about it. You don't have to answer questions about it. It's over. And like I told you after watching that West Virginia game, it's hard to change the culture in a locker room. For a basketball team, for a football team, whatever. For a team that has been losing consistently for three seasons before this. They did nothing but lose. And they literally did nothing but lose on the road. In a vast number of ways. Every way possible. They found ways to lose on the road. It's hard, and so for the group of kids, and look, Jeremiah Tillman's talented, Jonte Porter, you know, Blake Harris, but they're freshmen, so they don't know how to win yet in Division I basketball. They're learning. So to change the culture, all these different things, just win on the road and get it over with. They won on the road. They got it over with. So another big step for Konzo Martin and the Missouri Tigers last night. But it wasn't easy, and it got ugly. And that little, I felt like the last 3 or 4 minutes lasted forever. And it's funny because I was acting like Konzo Martin there at the end, screaming and yelling. He is, and let me tell you another thing, right, before we break. And look, it doesn't matter what a coach's demeanor is on the bench if he wins. Nobody cares, right? But if they start losing, then you start to nitpick and complain about everything. And there was one of my complaints. I'm not saying this as it, but it's just, this is, you start to nitpick. During Kim Anderson's era, people would always make remarks, I would too, that it seemed there were several times that perhaps Kim Anderson might fall asleep during games. He had that kind of demeanor. You know, I'd always get text messages and say, hey, somebody should wake Kim up for the second half. Look, you had to find a way to laugh or you cried during those last 3 years, you know. Someone wake him up, the game started, things like that, you know, because he was not the most animated guy on the road, on the bench.
Right.
Konzo Martin looks like he has gone through a full cardio workout in the first 5 minutes of the game. He's one of the most intense coaches. And you can see it. Teams start to take on the personality of their coach, right? And his reputation is you will play defense, you will be tough, you will hustle, or you will not play. And it's you always want, if you had a coach that failed, you always want the opposite. You want the, you know, if you had a defensive minded coach in football and got fired, then what do you want? We need offense. We need to light up the scoreboard. You always want what you don't have. And so it's very nice to see a coach that looks like he's emotionally invested. Looks like, you know, I have that demeanor. I look like I'm screaming and yelling and act like a nut when I'm watching games. And so it's nice to see that. And you can listen to Konzo. It sounds like he played for 40 minutes after the game. So good. Congratulations to Mizzou. They win finally on the road. Now, you're next, right? How happy will you be if Kansas wins a road football game next year? And you, will it matter? Will it matter?
Stop.
I'm just saying, will it matter who they play?
No.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care if it's 1AA.
Right. Doesn't matter. Road game win, get it done.
Yeah.
So that it was so therapeutic last night. It felt so good. Like, oh, I was like, you know what?
Now you can move on.
I was like Borat last night. King of the castle.
Go do this.
Wait, go do this. Go do that. This is my chair. I was walking around. I got a big piece of carrot cake for my birthday.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh, this is a great night.
King of the castle.
Oh, yeah.
Right. This is me.
King in the castle. King in the castle. I have a chair. Oh, go do this. Go do this. King in the castle.
It was me after a road win.
With your carrot cake and cigar.
Right. Let's take a break. Let's take a break because I'm happy.
Congratulations.
Tim Grunhard, Gary Lezak, Border Patrol Blitz and Fast Break, and Lauren Devernay-Tardif.
Larry, if you will.
Larry will be on the show at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Again, Mizzou beats Central Florida on the road last night, 62-59, to end the 36-game road losing streak.
No more pressure.
Well, there's more pressure, and I keep winning. As for other college basketball, some very sexy games this weekend. Very sexy. Kansas takes on Syracuse in Miami, 4:30 on ESPN, and of course, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, so that's a big one. That's a big one. Although Syracuse isn't as good as Kansas.
Now Kansas should beat them up pretty good.
Unless, you know, Kansas isn't hitting the threes or something happens, you know. shoot poorly.
Right. Right.
Right?
But I would expect. Double digits.
Oh, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the line tell you?
I don't think it's out yet.
Well, put it out. Aren't you responsible?
Well, I'd put it out for, I'd say.
What's your line?
My line would be 10.5.
Really?
Sure.
Well, before that.
You want 10.5 points?
Mm-mm, no. Before that, so that's at 4:30. Before that, if you've got, obviously, college football is going to be crazy over the weekend.
Absolutely.
But if you want to watch college basketball before that, at 1 o'clock on ESPNU is Wichita State at Baylor.
That'd be a good one.
Now, why wouldn't you want to watch that?
I would.
So that's quite the doubleheader for you. And, again, it's a big weekend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Got a whole lot for you as far as play-by-play and everything else. Tonight, we're going to have the Sports Radio 810 High School Football Award Show right here on WHB, followed by the Pac-12 championship game between USC and Stanford. Then tomorrow, College Game Day starts at 9 o'clock right here on WHB. And then we're going to have the Big 12 championship game between Oklahoma and TCU. And then Syracuse and Kansas, as I mentioned, at 4:30. And then after Syracuse and Kansas, right here on Sports Radio 810, you can listen to the ACC championship game between Clemson and Miami. And then over on our sister station, ESPN KC, we will have the SEC championship game between Auburn and Georgia. And then on Sunday, of course, Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show for your Chiefs coverage with Soren Petro and Curtis Siebold and Mark Boerichter. And then afterwards, you will have perhaps a very angry postgame show. Of course, it will be if the Chiefs lose. And usually it's angry even if the Chiefs win. A lot of anger.
That's the truth.
A lot of anger showcased on the Chiefs postgame show with Danny Klingscale and Frank Bull right after the game. And then we have Sunday Night Football. One hell of a Sunday Night Football matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks. Can't wait to check that game out. But again, for college basketball fans, you can watch Wichita State and Baylor. That's at 1 o'clock. And then Kansas and Syracuse is at 4:30. And then K-State has a road game of their own on Sunday afternoon at 1:30, K-State at Vanderbilt. So K-State at Vandy on Sunday at 1:30. It's on the SEC Network Plus. Now, as far as the college football schedule, I just mentioned some of it and how you can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or ESPN Kansas City. But again, tonight at 7 o'clock at Stanford and USC in the Pac-12 championship game. And then tomorrow at 11:30, TCU in Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. That starts at 11:30. You know, an underrated game, and I didn't ask Gary Barnett about this because we just had too many games and things to ask him about, but Memphis and UCF for the American Athletic Conference Championship, that's going to be at 11 a.m. down in Orlando. That game's on ABC, but Memphis has been terrific. They are 10-1. And UCF is, of course, 11-0, looking to finish the season undefeated. So check out Memphis and UCF. You could work out that remote control between TCU and Oklahoma on Fox and Memphis and UCF on ABC. Memphis-UCF starts at 11, and then TCU and Oklahoma starts at 11:30. Then at 3 o'clock on CBS is the SEC championship game between Georgia and Auburn. 6:45, Mountain West championship game between Fresno State and Boise State. Sure it'll be entertaining. And then at 7 o'clock, that's when the ACC and Big Ten title games take place at the same time on ABC. ACC championship game, Miami and Clemson on Fox, Ohio State and Wisconsin. Jake Pounders, you can tell me what your heart says or how you would wager if you found yourself in the state of Nevada. Or in the state of confusion, whatever.
I'm always in that state.
Who do you like tonight, Stanford or USC?
Oh, gosh. I think USC's probably the hotter of the two teams, but I think I'll go Stanford.
Hmm.
I think I'll go Stanford tonight.
I like Stanford's coach better.
I like they're running back. They have a good little running back.
But Sam Darnold, I feel like doesn't need him. I think he's, you know, on the stage.
USC's a 4-point favorite.
I'll pick USC, but I'll be rooting for Stanford. But I want to watch Sam Darnold tonight. TCU, Oklahoma. I'm picking Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield's going to go crazy.
OU's a 7-point favorite, but
I hope TCU makes it a good game.
Well,
I think they will, but
don't you just feel like they're going to have I don't know, for some reason.
Like, for my purposes, I'd like TCU to win.
I think they might. That's my gut feeling, because it seems like anytime the Big 12 does something, they're going to get screwed. They're going to screw themselves. Well, yeah. They're going to screw themselves, which I'm familiar with.
All right, Big 12.
Right. But, you know, TCU will jump in there and upset OU and knock the Big 12 out of the Final Four. So
I'm going to pick Memphis to upset UCF.
Memphis?
All the hand-wringing about UCF. Oh, they're going to be undefeated, and they're not going to make it. I think Memphis is going to win.
Yeah, UCF's a 7-point favorite, but I saw Memphis.
Give me 7 in Memphis.
Early in the season, they knocked off UCLA at home. I know UCLA didn't end up being, I think they were in the top 25 at the time. But Memphis is, I was surprised. I mean, it was a road game for UCLA, and like I said, UCLA, we all know their struggles with the firing of Jim Mora Jr. But that Memphis team looked good.
Nobody's going to pick UCF because UCF hammered Memphis the first time around, 40-13. That was at UCF, so this is the rematch. And so I don't know, something just tells me that Memphis is going to win. But
yeah, and I, you know what, I wouldn't, if UCF does win, I guess I won't be that mad, because I do like to listen to that. Oh, they're undefeated and they don't get a chance at the national championship. I don't mind hearing that at all. I like it, actually.
And I think it'll be interesting, too, because there's a good chance that both of these head coaches in this game are going to be moving on. Scott Frost, of course, Central Florida's coach, will probably be the next coach at Nebraska. And then Mike Norvell, who is the head coach at Memphis, he has a chance to end up at Arkansas or someplace else. He's a hell of a head coach. And so maybe both of those head coaches could be coaching their final game or next to last game, depending on how things work out for Central Florida and for Memphis. Now, as far as the rest of them, Georgia or Auburn, everyone's picking Auburn, so Auburn should win. But and Auburn just kicked Georgia's ass the first time around. But I want Georgia to win. It's going to be obviously in Atlanta. I'm no fan of Auburn. I'm not a fan of Georgia, but I get so sick of Alabama and Auburn. I would like Georgia to win.
Right, and, you know, to be honest, you watched Auburn beat up your Tigers in the SEC championship game a couple times now.
Also this year. Missouri lost to Auburn and then lost to Alabama. Missouri, they've taken a beating from Georgia a couple times, too. Missouri played much better against Georgia than they did against Auburn this year. I'll be rooting for Georgia, but I think Auburn's too good, and Gary Barnett, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for his opinion, says Auburn is the best team in the nation. And he picked them to beat Alabama. That he doesn't say that just because they beat Alabama. Going into the Alabama game on this show, he picked Auburn to beat Alabama and said then that Auburn was the best team in the nation. And then after that, I think Clemson's going to hammer Miami. And Ohio State, Wisconsin, I don't know who's going to win, but I'm rooting heavily, heavily, heavily for Wisconsin because, again, sick of Ohio State. Same teams over and over again. So give me Wisconsin. I would love to see that. We will take a break. Back into this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Another story that was getting hot and heavy last night. Bruce Feldman, who once wrote a book with Mike Leach, tweeted out last night, Tennessee coaching search update. Source tells me the meeting with Mike Leach went very well, and stay tuned. and other people reporting that Tennessee was working on a deal with Mike Leach for him to become the next head football coach. Earlier in the day, we got word that Dave Doran, Kansas City native, went to Bishop Miege, according to several sources, had turned down the Tennessee coaching job.
No.
Yep, he did.
And then, according to Bruce Feldman and other sources, the Tennessee Volunteers went after Kevin Sumlin, former Texas A&M coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then he declined. He politely declined. I don't know if it was polite. I shouldn't say that. He declined.
He declined. That's all you know.
He decided he was not interested. And
he
remember yesterday.
He could have been extremely rude about it.
I said, that's the guy that should go after. And they did. And he said no. Now, he was like their 14th choice, but I don't know. That offended him. But now, apparently, Mike Leach is not offended. He does not care what choice he is.
I love Mike Leach.
And we will. And let me tell you something. That'll certainly add to SEC football. That'll add some fun to it.
Yeah. I think if they ended up with Mike Leach, I think that would be saving face at this point, in my opinion. I think that'd be a good hire for Tennessee.
Oh, of course. And it would have been a pretty good hire, I think.
If they would have,
right.
Got him right off the bat.
But you just got to wait and see how much damage
mm-hmm.
has been done. What becomes of this recruiting class?
Right.
So many different players have already jumped ship. Pirate ship, get it?
That's why you're the best.
Right. And so it may take a while. I would hope that they would be patient because Mike Leach is a very, very good football coach.
Right. And if there's a coach who could handle that kind of pressure and kind of wave off that fan base and set them straight, maybe it'd be Mike Leach. I don't think he'd let it affect him like other coaches would.
Right.
I think he's pretty set in his ways. And he's just got an interesting philosophy of how he goes about his business.
Well, it'll be fun, man.
Yeah.
Between Mizzou's offense and what Mike Lee wants to do, those Missouri-Tennessee matchups will turn up a notch. There's no doubt about that. And so we'll see if that happens, if Mike Lee turns up being the next head coach of Tennessee today. Then we got the Chiefs at the New York Jets. Jake and I went out to Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. I know I mentioned yesterday during the show that we were going to talk to Mitch Morse. Mitch had to cancel at the last minute. And so Laurent Duvernay-Tardif was nice enough to spend about 15 or 20 minutes with us in a sit-down interview. We'll play that for you today at 9:05. Talk about the run game, the offensive line, and shockingly, I talked to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif about George St. Pierre. So, because I can't help myself ever. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Chiefs at the Jets this Sunday.
Chiefs only a 3-point favorite right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically a pick 'em.
Here's some news and notes previewing the game. Of course, Kansas City coming off a 16-10 loss to Buffalo at Arrowhead Stadium last Sunday. Third straight loss. 1-5 in the last six games. Chiefs are averaging just 18 points per game since week six. 18 points per game since week six after they averaged an NFL high 32.8 points in the first five games of the year.
Ooh.
The Jets are coming up 35-27 loss at home to the Panthers in week 12. That was their second straight loss. Also 1-5 in their last six games. New York is 1-17 the last 18 times they failed to record a single takeaway like they did last Sunday against the Panthers. In the last matchup between the two teams, the Chiefs beat the Jets 24-3. That was last season at Arrowhead Stadium Week 3. New York has beaten Kansas City each of the last three times the two clubs have taken the field at MetLife Stadium dating back to 2007. Was that the game I was at? 2007, I went when Brett Favre was a quarterback for the Jets. Look that game up. How's that sound? That's a job for you. I went on a trip with Sports Radio 810 WHB and watched that game.
Favre was with the Jets in 08.
So what
I'm looking that up.
Yeah, look that game up for me. I remember the Jets won. And it was not a pleasant experience watching that game surrounded by Jets fans.
Shocking.
So I can promise you that.
Shocking.
Josh McCown, the Jets quarterback, was 19 of 36 for 307 yards and three touchdowns last Sunday. That his second straight 300-yard passing performance of the season. He's thrown at least one touchdown pass in seven straight games. And Robbie Anderson has been one of the best receivers in the NFL over the past month or a little bit longer. And he had a terrific game against Carolina last week. So he certainly concerns me. I know that when we talked to Andy Benoit from Monday Morning Quarterback earlier this week, he said the Jets really don't have a dynamic receiver. I respectfully disagree. Robbie Anderson last week had six catches for 146 yards and two touchdowns. The week before, he had four for 85 and a touchdown. The week before, four for 48 and a touchdown, six for 104 and a touchdown. He scored touchdowns in five straight games, including, like I said, two last week for the season. He has 41 catches for 714 yards. He's averaging 17.4 yards per catch, and he has seven touchdowns. He seems like he's pretty good to me, especially in the red zone. And so I would be concerned about Robbie Anderson. And McCown's been good. Robbie Anderson's a big part of that.
Yeah, that that game that you attended was October 26th of 08. The Jets defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 28-24. Tyler Thigpen had himself a day.
Well, what'd he do?
25 of 36 with 280 yards and two touchdowns, no INTs.
What did Favre do?
Favre was 28 of 40 for 290, two touches, and three INTs.
Right.
Dwayne Bowe had a day, six catches for 102 yards. Tony Gonzalez had six catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. And I guess so the Jets won that game late. Late!
They did.
Minute left,
Lavernius Coles caught
a 15-yard touchdown pass from Brett Favre with a minute left on the clock to put the Jets ahead 27-24 with an extra point pending.
Yeah, that was a rough one. There was a female Jets fan that was sitting in front of us that I feel like screamed at us for like three straight hours.
I believe it. Brandon Flowers had a 91-yard interception return off of Brett Favre.
That was a wild game.
Yeah.
That was breaking.
That was in the fourth quarter. That's how the Chiefs scored in the fourth quarter to go up 24-21. Flowers with a 91-yard interception return to put the Chiefs up 24-21 with 7:48 left. And Brett Favre took the Jets down, and with a minute left, threw a pass to Lavernius Coles to put the Jets up.
I believe that the fan that was heckling us and screaming at us, a lot of it had to do with Herm Edwards.
Huh.
So. Huh. Some of the weird things you remember. Hopefully the Chiefs will have a better fate on Sunday as they visit the Jets at noon. You can listen to pre- and post-game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to talk to Tim Grenhard, hopefully on the phone, coming up in the next segment. Then we'll have Gary Lezak, Border Patrol Blitz and Fast Break, and Chiefs offensive lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif will be on the show at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.